Now, the title of tonight's message, The Supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And praise God for His mercy and goodness to us. Praise God for the indwelling Spirit of God. We just sang that Christ dwelleth in me, in us. But also want to speak about the presence of God, His faithfulness to us. And I'll back up a little bit here and kind of start with just a scare that our family got. We found out a few days ago now, but it happened actually all the way back to last Friday. And this is going to pertain to my brother-in-law, or Gina's brother-in-law, the husband of her youngest sister. But since last Friday, he has been, he was not himself, and just very, very all of a sudden confused, appeared delirious, forgetful, off balance. And then, of course, didn't seem to go away. He could not shake it. He could not snap out of it. And it started since last Friday. We only found out about a few days later. But, of course, in that time, it's already Thursday today. But over those next few days, fear kind of sets in, you know, and we kind of start wondering, well, hope he feels better or snaps out. He didn't do some preliminary test in the ER, but all the tests came back, you know, negative. Didn't find anything out of the usual. Of course, he was not himself and was not acting normal. And certainly was in no condition to drive or go to work. And then we kind of start thinking, you know, mind starts kind of wandering. And then, like I said, kind of the flesh takes over. Fear kind of starts plotting out the what ifs, you know. And, well, what if he never recovers? Or what if something happens and he can't go back to work? Of course, he is the sole breadwinner for the family. And we start going through all these scenarios. What if this? What if that? Now, praise God for God's mercy. Because later on Tuesday, so just a couple of days ago, he did seem to snap out of it for the most part. In fact, even after that, then today, he's that much better. And so we just praise God for that. But just keep praying, because I know there might be some test results. We're still waiting to hear back yet. But bottom line, he did kind of snap out of that. And so he's kind of back to himself for the most part. So that was a real blessing. And so we rejoice in God's mercy there. Even if my brother-in-law didn't snap out of it, the Word of God comforts us, because we know that we always have the comfort of God through any circumstance, no matter how dire or how bleak or hopeless they might be, because God is not just with us in goodwill, meaning He means the best for us, but God is also with us, and that's kind of the thrust of the message tonight. God is literally with us in person through the Holy Spirit, also called in this verse, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage us tonight, my friends. Praise God for His goodness. God doesn't have to do this. He chooses to do this because He loves us so. But let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 1. But I want to just share that as the backdrop, because God is so faithful. Praise God for His mercy, no matter the circumstance. Of course, it's not even part of the message, but always treasure every day. Amen. Praise God, because you never know what the day may bring. And how fragile and precious life is. But treasure and cherish every moment that the Lord gives us. But let's go to verse 19 of chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. And the Word of God, the Apostle Paul says here to us, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in thy house today. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Lord, that He indwells us, and specifically through different trials and afflictions, You supply us with just how much grace that we need through You. And so, Father, we thank You that we always have this comfort, we always have this literal presence from You, and Father, we ask that even now that You would just anoint these lips of clay, that I would speak, Father, what You would have me to say, that we would be encouraged and just rejoice from Your precious Word, that we know no matter what, may we always turn to You in faithful prayer for the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Because, Father, we need You. We need You for at the very start with our salvation, all the way to the very end in our glorification. And we need You every step in between. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, so just keep praying if you can for my sister-in-law and her family, and brother-in-law and their family there. God's continual healing on my brother-in-law, again, as they go forward. But again, just to encourage us from the Word of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, of course, in this context here, another name for the Holy Ghost. And just to clarify, Jesus Christ himself, God the Son, of course, we know that he is not the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. But in this context, the Spirit of Jesus Christ indeed refers to the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent to do his work on planet Earth. If you go, don't have to turn, but I'll just read some of the verses here, like Romans chapter 8, verse 9, speaking about the Spirit of Christ that indwells believers and makes us children of God. The Word of God says, "Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, the Spirit of the Lord, that it gives us liberty, right? Now the Lord is that Spirit, the Scripture says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Galatians 4:6 tells us, by the Spirit of Christ, that we are adopted into the family of God upon our salvation. And the Word of God says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, that's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, into our heart, your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the lesson from the Apostle Paul, looking at the context here, of course, these are one of his prison epistles, and he wrote this while he was under house arrest. And of course, from a human perspective, we don't quite know what's going to happen. Is he going to take a turn for the worse? But Paul here is so confident, even though he doesn't appear to have any optimism, but he is so confident that things are going to be okay. They're going to be okay. Now, I have to stress, regardless of outcome, it's going to be okay. In fact, if you look down just a few more verses, it's not as though Paul is being presumptuous that he's going to get a get-out-of-jail-free card, okay? It's not as though he's assuming that. In fact, if you look down, he says, in the end of verse 20, he says here, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, that certainty, assurance, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Okay, so he's ready to go, or he's ready to keep on serving Christ, or he's ready to go home to glory. Either one, but he knows it's going to be okay. And then verse 21, for to me to live in Christ, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And so that's his mindset. He's armed with the mind of Christ. If I live, hey, that's great. I get to serve Christ and live for him. But if I die, hey, that's just bonus. That's even better. And so that's the mindset he has. No matter what's going to happen, it's going to be okay. But this confidence, it's rooted. I want us to understand where Paul is coming from. He says in verse 19, our main text, for I know he's so sure and confident that this, that's his predicament, shall turn to my salvation. Salvation here means his deliverance, okay? He is already saved. He already has salvation. He's talking about deliverance from his circumstance, okay? Through your, he's speaking to the Philippians, your prayer. The idea, of course, he's writing to them. The idea is when they get his epistle, they're like, all right, guys, better keep praying for Paul. He's counting on our prayers. And so through the prayers, something remarkable is going to happen, which Paul has utmost confidence would cause his deliverance, either which way. And what is that? And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, this is huge, because the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is 100% tied to the prayer of the Philippians, okay? In other words, what Paul is saying, because, read it slowly with me, and I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, comma, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So he's not saying these two items are mutually exclusive, but rather they are interdependent. In other words, because of their prayers, which, Lord willing, in the Spirit, by faith, Paul will have the sufficient supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I mean, this is huge. Okay, Christian, don't miss this. This is what the Scripture is telling us. We have a phenomenal promise of God to have the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that we will have all that we will ever need, but we must believe it by faith. And faith is exhibited here in prayer, okay? We must believe it by faith for it to be effectual in us. That by faithful prayer, we will have the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, just like Paul does here, we can too, that turns any circumstances that we are in, no matter how dire, to our deliverance. By the way, Paul is talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit, not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, okay? That's upon salvation. In fact, Lord willing, we can preach more on that on Sunday, but that's for Sunday. But remember what Luke chapter 11, verse 13 tells us? Jesus says then, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, in this case, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to them that ask Him. Now, what does this supply of the Spirit of Christ mean? Well, among other things, it means two big things that's kind of stick out to me. The Spirit of Christ, number one, is not just who is doing the supplying, but the Spirit of Christ is the very one who is supplied. Okay, let me just back up a little bit and say that again in maybe a different way here. And so the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, doesn't just supply us with a dose of emotional comfort. Now, comfort's great, don't get me wrong. But the Holy Ghost doesn't just give us an inventory, a stock, a supply of comfort. He is the comforter. And so it undervalues what God is telling us. And it limits the promise of God and puts Him in a box when we merely think that God provides us the emotion of comfort, when in truth, God provides us the supply of Himself. Not just a mere emotion of comfort. Okay, think of it that way. Not just a feeling, but His literal presence. The idea is God, Holy Spirit of God, is the comforter. And God fills me with His presence. And because of that, I get comfort. Make sense? So it's not just the byproduct of comfort. It's God Himself, the presence of God that fills me. And because of that, I have comfort because He is the comforter. It is a literal presence of God. And in fact, if you think of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the ever presence of God, the omnipresence of the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, by the way, when you think of the Holy Spirit and the different ministry that God has for the Holy Spirit compared to Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ walked on planet Earth in the flesh, when Jesus Christ was walking on planet Earth, yes, He was our sinless Savior, but Jesus Christ, when He was in human form, was still limited by human means. He would get weary and tired to rest by the well, John chapter 4. You know, He couldn't be everywhere all at once. He was limited to being just in the flesh and being in one location at one time. Remember, He did not heal Lazarus, if you recall that account. He was not physically by Lazarus to heal him. Even that centurion, remember, who had a beloved servant who was sick and dying, and even though Jesus healed that servant over distance, that centurion still had to have servants come to Jesus personally and physically to meet him locally to ask for healing. Now, He had a message that He sent to them, but they still had to go to Jesus physically. Now, when Jesus ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost can now reprove the whole world. This is amazing. And what Christ did in Jerusalem and in His ministry, that's phenomenal, but again, limited to just one man, one person, Himself in the flesh. But when Jesus ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Ghost can work and do the will of God in the whole planet. Okay, this is amazing, all at once, because He is everywhere. He is ever present. He is omnipresent. And so the idea is the Holy Ghost now can reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, we know that. But the Holy Ghost can also now not just indwell all believers across the entire planet when they get saved, but also comfort all believers by literally supplying us all of Himself, sufficient to all of our trials. So this is how Jesus literally never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, He tells us His promise, right? We can be content with what he has promised us, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is not just referencing this in goodwill, but in person. That the Spirit of Christ indwells us upon salvation and fills us upon faithful prayer. This is huge, because I want us to, sometimes it's hard to wrap my mind around what is literal. It's easy for me to think of literal only in a physical sense. There's a literal car. This is a literal book, Bible, pulpit. These are material things that's literal, which is not wrong. That's true. Yes, that's physical literal. But there is also spiritual literal. Both are literal. A good example sometimes, it's not literal, it's not spiritual, but if you want to think of emotions. Emotions are literal. They're real. Okay, you can't see it, but you can say, hey, I'm literally so happy right now. Hey, I'm not faking, I'm really happy. Or you can say, I'm literally so angry right now. Okay, and so these are emotional things. They are not physical, but it's literal. It's real. You can say How about a wounded heart? I mean, our heart can literally, physically be stabbed by a knife. That would be bad. But you can also have a literally broken spiritual heart, right? Or emotional, you know, where someone betrays you, a loved one that betrays you. And then your heart is still literally broken. Now, it's not broken physically, but it's broken emotionally. But they are both literally happening. Okay, so I want us to understand literal is not just confined to physical. There is also spiritual. And this is a tremendous truth when we can wrap our minds around what Paul is saying here. He knows that he's going to be okay, no matter the outcome of his imprisonment, because of your prayers that would send him the literal supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Again, not just a well wish from heaven, like getting a greeting card, wish you well, wish I could be there. No, he actually is going to get the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is awesome. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy. This is kind of a reference here. Let's go to 2 Timothy, because he tells Timothy kind of the same thing. So 2 Timothy, let's go to chapter 4 as he wraps it up here to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and then verse 22 towards the end. Notice how Paul signs off to Timothy and what he wishes Timothy. Now, again, Paul is, again, just a human being. He's a sinner saved by grace. He's confined to the flesh. He can't be with Timothy the way that the Spirit of Christ can. So look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go to verse 22. The first half says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit." Now, at first hand, as we read this, like, oh yeah, he just means, you know, the goodwill of Christ be with you, which is not wrong. We do have the goodwill and the benevolent will of Christ. But as Christians, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, we can actually literally have the Spirit of Christ, the supply of him, okay? This is phenomenal. And so Paul wished not just the person not just the goodwill of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with Timothy, but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, to be with him in person. Not just in agreement, not just in a metaphorical sense, but in a literal sense. How? Through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, when the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what does he bring Timothy? Well, grace be with you. Amen. And so when Timothy has the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he's got the grace and the power of Christ in his life. That's phenomenal. In fact, very similar. Turn with me one page. We'll skip over Titus. Let's go to Philemon. Philemon, let's go to verse, it's only one chapter, but let's go to verse 25. Same thing as he wraps up to Philemon. Paul kind of says the same thing here to Philemon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Again, he's not just saying, you know, ideologically, he's saying literally, amen. I mean, this is a tremendous truth that the Spirit of Christ is not just given to us as far as the emotion of comfort, but the Holy Spirit himself who is the comforter. And then number two, the supply of the Spirit of Christ is always sufficient. If we have him, he's always sufficient. The idea of supply, meaning the provision, what's being provided, what's furnished, what's equipped, that we are equipped with the Spirit of Christ to do all of what God desires us to do, to execute his will. It is exactly what's needed for us in any situation. It is never short. It is always sufficient. Think back to Psalm 23 when King David wrote this. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that's verse 4, "I will fear no evil," for why? Anyone remember that? "For thou art with me." Now think about that. The idea is when we quote this verse, when Paul quotes Psalm 23, verse 4, when he says, "For thou art with me," it's not just you're with me in agreement. You're with me meaning I have your, go get him, Paul. you got my blessing. No, it's a literal presence. This is so mind-blowing for the Christian. It is a literal presence that thou art with me. If you remember what the psalmist says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That is huge. I mean, you can't see him physically, but the supply of the Spirit of Christ is literal. It's literally there with Paul, okay? 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us this, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having, always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." The idea is the supply of what we get the dose of Holy Spirit presence we get, the Spirit of Christ that we get through faithful, effectual prayers is always going to be what? Enough. It's always going to be sufficient. And because of that, can you imagine just like Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were tossed into the burning fiery furnace. Of course, they said, hey, no matter what happens, we're not going to bow down, right? And so that was faith that they had in their God to take care of them or not. It's up to God. Either way, they're going to be okay, right? They either go home to glory or God somehow miraculously takes care of them. We know that story. Of course, we know the presence of the fourth was there, like unto the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Of course, the pre-incarnate Christ was there with them, protected them. That's amazing, but it was his literal presence, his literal presence. And so just put it this way. No matter where you are, no matter how you're feeling, how hurt you are, how lonely you might feel, how hopeless the situation might be, if God is literally right there with you, wouldn't that be okay? Well, yeah. Now, here's the good part. He is literally there. Well, Lord willing, through faithful prayer, again, I can't overemphasize the necessity of faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, we cannot claim the promises of Scripture. It has to be received by faith. God gives it by grace, but we always receive it by faith. But Christians, don't miss this promise of what God is saying. God is not saying you're out there fending for yourselves. God says, if you believe in my word and you pray fervently, this is what Paul was asking the Philippians, please pray for me because I know if you pray in faith, I will have adequate, more than enough supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Again, not just the comfort that the Spirit brings, but the Spirit himself. Okay, literally, he will have that. That is amazing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And Paul says it this way here. God shall supply, of course, all our needs, monetary, and then some. Amen. And so let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 19. Paul knows, he wants the Philippians to know, and God wants us to know, but my God shall supply all your need. Now, little disclaimer here, not necessarily my wants, there you go, but what I need, and God knows what I need. Sometimes I might not know, I might think, I really need this burger, no, I don't really need it, okay? And so, we might get our needs and wants confused, God doesn't, but we can just trust in him, that's the wonderful thing. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. How rich is God? Infinitely rich in glory by Christ Jesus. And again, specifically from an opening verse, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. Everything that we need from God is always going to be sufficient. Through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, how's our supply? Sometimes I feel like, well, if I'm kind of running low on my supply, stock up, right? Now, of course, tongue in cheek here, but the idea is if we need more presence of God in our life so we can get more comfort, it goes back to our opening verse. Prayer by faith will give us the supply, what's adequately needed of the presence, the person of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's a joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome truth and thought, Lord, that just by prayer, by faith, in receiving your promises, Lord, that we believe in what you tell us, that, Lord, we need your presence in our life. We praise you that we are saved forever, once forever, that your Holy Spirit indwells and seals us once forever. But, Father, we also need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask according to faith, even as the Philippians were praying for Paul, and Paul was asking for that prayer, even as we pray for each other now, Lord, that our circumstances, I think of my brother-in-law, I think of just or any one of us, Lord, just the different trials and hardships and the overwhelming odds, and we seem to have a back against the wall and we can't climb our way out, Lord. Lord, it's okay. It's okay. We just want you, and we need the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, even tonight, Lord, we ask in this prayer time, this corporate prayer time, that you, according to your will and to your grace, and as we would pray your promises in Scripture, that you would provide us the supply, the more than adequate and sufficient supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In his name we ask, amen. Praise the Lord.